KXEI Community Media, this is Research Matters. My name is Bridget Thumb, and today I'm joined in the studio with a senior at the University of Arizona who is majoring in neuroscience. Welcome to Research Matters, Neera Kaibera.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So what do you do when you're not at KXEI?
I'm really passionate about how environment and human health connect. On a personal level, I am leading this art project that's a collaboration between the Japanese American Student Association and Campus Sustainability Fund to make this art piece that tells the story of the changing peak bloom of cherry blossoms in Japan. And we kind of use that story as a way to have community discussions about how changes in the environment affect cultural and emotional practices. So it's been really, really exciting and really rewarding.
What does it look like?
We have charms that we're making the cherry blossoms. Those are baked and glazed and glued onto a canvas. So it's kind of like a 3D painting. And the shape of those blossoms will represent this climate data that has been collected since like 890 in Japan. So Japan has a very extensive history of marking when the peak blooms are, and those rates have been changing due to climate change. So that's the research that we're kind of representing with the art project.
Since 890?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So I think pretty fortunate in terms of climate research to have such an extensive history and documentation of those changes in the plant phenology. It's interesting because those were just for cultural reasons. They were not like, oh, we're going to mark the future climate change, right? But now we're able to utilize that and compare that to current data.
The beauty of collecting all that data being transferred into art.
Yeah, it's so symbolically beautiful in terms of like its history and its purpose. But something also is that it tells us a really glaring and disturbing and important story of how plants and other organisms in the environment are responding to changing temperatures. Essentially, the graph is telling us that the peak bloom seasons are occurring earlier and earlier in the year. And that is in response to, we want to bloom when it's the perfect temperature. If it's too hot, we're not going to. If that occurs, it doesn't just mean every single organism in the environment that's adapted.
The pollinators need to get that memo.
Yes. It's just such a really beautiful, obvious symbol of how plants and life and culture all connect. This art installation at the Asian Pacific Student Affairs Office at the University of Arizona Student Union on the fourth floor. Anyone who wants to visit is free to go.
You're listening to Research Matters. We have been speaking with Neera Kaibera, and we're going to have a part two because this conversation has been so lovely. Neera, thank you so much for being here today.
Yes,
I really appreciate it. I look forward to hearing more about your work.
Thank you so much. I had a good time.
Research Matters is produced in Tucson, Arizona at KXEI Community Radio, which is a listener-supported radio station. To hear more episodes, visit kxci.org. Thank you. From KXEI Community Media, this is Research Matters. My name is Bridget Thumb, joined in the studio with Neera Kaibera from the University of Arizona, who is a senior in neuroscience. This is the second part of a two-part episode. To hear part one, you can visit kxci.org. We're going to pick up our conversation where we left off. Neera, what do you do in the lab?
I study hazardous noise exposure across Tucson. I'm comparing the difference between noise exposure in high and low socioeconomic areas.
What are you seeing? How are you measuring it?
We did measurements on smartphone applications. We were comparing average noise, frequency-specific noise, as well as human-weighted and environmental noise. In all of the venues, no matter the frequency type, there was greater noise exposure in low socioeconomic areas. It confirmed our original study, but it was also a little bit disturbing, and it raised all these questions about what the sources of these noise are, what can we do to prevent these things, because people typically think about noise hazard as like when you're sleeping, but when we do these frequency specific analyses, there's greater high frequency noise in these low socioeconomic areas. And high frequency noise, you can't hear.
They still have an impact on your nervous system.
Yes.
What can people do?
I would say that the solution is twofold. Even if you were to put in earplugs when it's too loud, there might be noises that you don't even know are there. So obviously there are individual precautionary measures that can be taken, but I really want to emphasize the role that we have as citizens and people who construct cities. My biggest drive and my biggest feelings about what has to come out of this sort of research is that there needs to be institutional changes. There needs to be policy changes.
Yeah, you know? Systemic change.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in health. Noise hazard exposure is linked to chronic diseases like cardiovascular, diabetes, all those sorts of things. A lot of times for people who are seeking healthcare with those issues, they can feel or be treated as if there are preventative measures that they can take, which is true. You can change your diet or your exercise or any of these things. There are so many things that you cannot control. That is something that we should actively acknowledge and tell people is the reality and then work to solve those things.
What are these noises?
We don't know the sources of these noises, but also what is preventing the noise. In high socioeconomic areas, there is more green space, there's more trees, there's more materials that absorb noise. And so the noise in the atmosphere might also represent what precautionary measures people who are in high socioeconomic areas are fortunate enough to have to protect them from noise.
Are there plans in the works to do more studies?
The Teske lab that I work in at the university has a whole team that is going to be continuing this research.
What's next for Mira? What are you going to do after you graduate? You're a senior now.
I will be going to Royal Holloway, University of London, to study global health in a program that's specifically environmental and human health.
That's on brand for Mira Kibera.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Research Matters. Our guest today has been Mira Kibera. This has been part two. To hear part one of this episode, please visit kxci.org. Mira, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today at the station.
Thank you so much. I love your guys' show, and I love community radio.